Welcome to Take Note on WPSU. I'm Patty Satalia. What could the loss of state funding mean for public broadcasting? We'll talk about that, but first, political analyst Terry Madonna calls the process of developing our state's yearly budget an annual slugfest. Budgeting is a particularly contentious process this year as the Democratic governor and Republican-dominated legislature grapple over how to bridge a multi-billion-dollar deficit. Take note, Cynthia Berger talked with Madonna about the key issues in this year's budgeting process. Madonna is a professor of public affairs at Franklin and Marshall College in Lancaster and founder of the Keystone Poll, the oldest survey produced exclusively for Pennsylvania.
Terry Madonna, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me.
You bet. Apparently, Pennsylvania has a history of these contentious budget battles, and I want to reference your bi-monthly column, the one you write with Dr. Michael Young, Politically Uncorrected. You referred to the year 1977. That was when then-Governor Milton Schaap proposed to balance the budget with an increase in state sales tax. You wrote, "Feelings were so bitter that 20 legislators engaged in a fight on the floor of the House." So really? A fist fight?
Well, yeah, a few punches were thrown and a lot of the chairs were scattered around, and there was a lot of pushing and shoving. Tempers were running very, very high, as you might imagine. And, you know, it's not the first time that there have been some pretty nasty exchanges, sometimes in the hallways, and legislators have been known to engage in some pushing and shoving over the years.
Well, we're hoping this year will be a little more civil. But in the spirit of saying those who do not remember history are doomed to repeat it, we should say there is a big deficit this year, and Pennsylvania has faced sizable deficits even more recently than the Great Depression. 1991, 1971 were pretty tough years with very big deficits. How did the governors in those years deal with them?
Well, and we could throw in as well the 1981-82 recession, which maybe was the worst of the post-depression recessions. What we're talking about, I think, are essentially governors who looked at the situation, found the state in such dire circumstances that they recommended broad-based taxes, something Governor Rendell has not done this year. By broad-based, I mean either sales or income tax hikes. Typically, the income tax was raised. We have a flat tax in this state. The Supreme Court of Pennsylvania in the early 1970s, when a progressive tax was proposed during the Schaap administration, ruled a progressive tax unconstitutional, saying that the state constitution required the tax rate to apply to everyone equally so that you couldn't build in, you know, deductions for people, you know, based on, let's say, income or other factors. But in these recessions, state government has typically resorted to an income tax hike. I think the income tax now is 3.07. And it was hiked in Governor Rendell's first year by a percent, a little less than a percent, I think. Yeah, it went up 10% of what the rate was. I think it was 2.8 or 2.9% to 3.07, which is where it is now. So we've already had one income tax hike under the Rendell years, but the governor has said no income tax hike, he thinks, this year, and no sales tax hike this year.
So that's the bottom line. He's not going to resort to the measures that previous governors have used to get out of this mess.
Right, right.
Yeah.
As you point out, reduced the legislature to not just fighting, but, you know, not resolving the issue in some cases until late July and August.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
With furloughs and the entire state government discombobulated. I mean, services cut, state employees not paid. That's not been an unusual circumstance in our state.
So on to the draft budget for 2009-2010, currently making its way through the legislature. It's $29 billion
right.
For the fiscal year starting July 1st. We've got a $2.3 billion deficit in the current budget. Mm-hmm. And the proposed budget relies pretty heavily on the federal stimulus package to close the gap, but there's also some potentially contentious cost-cutting measures, and remind us about those.
First of all, let's start with a little history. There's been two budget-cutting measures put in place already by Governor Rendell, a freeze on hiring, which he seems to violate more than anybody else, hiring people after he put the freeze on. No, hiring freeze, spending freezes, all to the tune, I think, of something in the neighborhood of $600-700 million, as his way of saying, we have to get the budget under control now, we have to curtail spending now. And he has also encouraged the legislature to go into what they call their caucus accounts that have about $250 million in them to say, okay, I want some of that $250 million put back into the Treasury, not held by the four caucuses, in order to help balance the budget. He's also recommended the closing of two state-supported educational institutions in Scranton, a school for those who are deaf, and Franklin County, the Scotland School, which is a school, I think, for orphans. And so he's trying to save money a variety of ways, and some of them are not very popular.
Related to this cost-cutting, I was amused in another of your recent columns. You said Rendell is engaged in a piece of budgetary ledger domain that would make Houdini blush. I take that to mean you feel the governor is misdirecting people's attention so that they won't notice what he's doing. The budget looks like one thing, but really is another. Just explain that for us.
Well, what tends to happen is that they can make cuts in certain ways so that most people aren't aware of them, because if these services aren't directed by them, you wouldn't have a clue as to what is being cut and what isn't. But more to the point, if we stay in recession, let's say we're having this conversation next year and we're still in recession and the stimulus money begins to dry up. Now, the stimulus money will run for 2 to 3 years. And so much of what is going on, as you pointed out at the beginning, in terms of having the budget resolved, will take place using the $16 to $22 billion. We can't even figure out how much actually we're getting yet. $16 to $22 billion from the federal government. So what's happening is Governor Rendell is taking the problems that the state has, and there are severe problems in Medicaid, in health care for the poor especially. And he's saying, well, we'll use the federal stimulus money as a way to balance the budget. And critics are saying, well, what happens when the stimulus money goes away? If we expand programs, how are we going to possibly pay for them without huge tax hikes, general tax hikes now? And so that's what some of the critics are saying.
So it appears that there are cuts, but there's also an increase in spending.
Remember, the legislature hasn't done the budget yet, so we don't know what they'll finally do. But it does look like in a recession year with a deficit, spending will increase somewhere between 4 and 6%. And before we get too far down that road, let me point out something else. Now, the Republicans like to criticize Governor Rendell for spending. But in the first years of the Rendell administration, in fact, in the first 4 years, the Republicans controlled both chambers of the legislature. Rendell recommended spending proposals, you know, 3, 3.5%, something in that range, in every single budget year in which the Republicans controlled the legislature. They increased the spending over what Governor Rendell proposed. Now, that's pretty significant. So for all of the critics carping about Rendell's spending, Republicans, as well as the Democrats in the legislature, have been on board, so to speak, and have put forth and voted for, not all of them to be sure, but many of them, spending plan that exceeded what the governor recommended.
You've said that for all this contentiousness, you feel that this year the Rendell and the legislature are not so far apart. You know,
right.
the differences are less than people seem to feel.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, first of all, they're going to fight over priorities. And here's, in other words, they're going to fight over, Republicans and Democrats tend to represent different constituencies. Democrats tend to care more about cities. Republicans tend to care more about rural areas. And that translates differently into different policies. For Republicans, tourism and agriculture tend to take precedence over urban matters, urban affairs, urban problems. And the Democrats will likely focus on urban problems. So how they end up solving the budget problem is that the cities get some and the rural areas get some. Everybody gets a piece of what it is that they want. Nobody gets everything that they want. And so with the federal stimulus money coming in, $4 billion of this stimulus over the next 2 to 3 years will go to Medicaid spending. Everybody agrees that more people are out of work, more folks need health care, particularly the poor. They want to increase spending on another health care program called Adult Basic. That's those folks who earn too much to get Medicaid health care coverage. That's a state plan. They'll put money into that. Governor Rendell has said that he wants to put about $350 million in the basic education budget. Republicans are not as wowed about that. That $300 million will come from the stimulus package. They'll put $1 billion-plus into roads, bridges, and mass transit. And so everybody will get a little bit of something out of the stimulus package. There won't be the need for a broad-based tax. So why they will fight much beyond July 1 remains to be seen.
So democracy in action, people really will compromise.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly. It's an ugly process, but I don't see, if they're not voting to hike anyone's taxes, which is typically what roils the legislature and creates these problems that we've been talking about, the priorities are a little different, but I think the stimulus package gives the government some flexibility to, help different areas of the state. I don't think this should go on much beyond the middle of July, but there are legislators who tell me they're not scheduling any summer vacation.
So you're saying it's not so tough a year as we thought. They're not so far apart.
Yeah.
But also part of the reason it's not so tough as you might think is has to do with the kind of deficit that we have, that it's an operating deficit, not a structural deficit.
That's right. That's right. I mean, we're not like other states, New York, New Jersey, Illinois, California, that are struggling with massive deficits. $2.3 billion sounds a lot. Sounds like a lot. It is a lot. But candidly, with the stimulus, they should be able to get out of this year, make the budget whole, and get a working budget for next year with the $16 to $22 billion. So I don't think they'll fight and whether it turns into a fisticuff match, we'll see. But I just don't see why this should go much beyond, the constitutional deadline of June 30.
We've been talking about the Pennsylvania state budget with Terry Madonna, a pundit and pollster who directs the Center for Politics and Public Affairs at Franklin and Marshall College in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Terry, it's been great to talk to you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
For Take Note, I'm Cynthia Berger.
If you're just joining us, this is Take Note on WPSU. I'm Patty Satalia. Last year, public television saw cuts in state funding. This year, Governor Rendell proposes to eliminate funding for the Pennsylvania Public Television Network, or PPTN. All 8 public stations in the Commonwealth would be affected, including WPSU. Ann Danahy of the Center Daily Times talks with WPSU's general manager Ted Critchells about the proposed cuts and their likely impact.
Ted Critchells, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Pennsylvania is facing a $2.3 billion budget deficit. One measure Governor Rendell has proposed is eliminating spending for the state's public television stations, which would see funding go from about $8 million to nothing. What would that mean for WPSU?
Well, it would specifically be in the neighborhood of about $850,000. Taken out of our budget, which is about a $9 million budget. It's actually weighs more than that because this is funding that comes in at the beginning of the year and is funding that we can leverage. It's not money as you have with membership or grants where you have to put a lot of personnel work into doing it. So it's really counts even more than 10% of our budget.
Have you started planning for the cuts, looking at programs you'll have to shrink or get rid of altogether?
We're working on two fronts. One, it would be, frankly, a significant hit to the station. So we are working with the other managers in Pennsylvania, trying to make our case to the legislature that we're willing to take a cut like everybody else, but to eliminate the state funding is going too far. And that it would really have a significantly negative impact. In fact, I think there are a few stations in Pennsylvania that arguably would not be viable with no state funding. So we're working on that front to make the case. We have open hearings in Harrisburg, actually one this week on the Senate side, and then one in a couple of weeks on the House side. So we have organized our message and are working on that level. Obviously, all of us are looking at what happens if this actually comes to pass. And we have been doing that here at WPSU as well, going through our whole budget. There would be an impact on the local production side. I think we have specifically said publicly we could not continue the Scholastic Scrimmage Series without state funding. It's a significant effort. We have over 90 schools that are involved throughout central Pennsylvania. We do a number, I forget the exact number, but something like 80 programs in the course of the year. We just couldn't maintain that specifically without state funding. But we're looking at every line item in the budget, to be honest.
And you mentioned some public broadcasting stations might not be viable without state funding. Are you saying they would have to close their doors?
Something would have to give, yes. At some point, if you look at what it costs to run a station, what the electricity costs, what the PBS dues are, just to maintain that operation. And if you look at some of the rural areas of Pennsylvania where you simply don't have the numbers in the communities or the businesses in the community to pick up that extra support, and you look at that, all of that, it's hard to see how they are viable.
Penn State is dealing with its own budget problems and has a salary freeze for employees in the upcoming year. Are you looking at taking steps on top of that, such as pay cuts or layoffs?
Well, as I said, we have to look at every line item in the budget. We value all of the folks that work at WPSU. Layoffs would be a last resort that we would look at. So we are in the process now of going through every part of the budget.
Governor Rendell has said that with the deficit the state is facing, he has to make choices. In a speech he gave this year at Penn State, he said when it comes to deciding between full funding for worthy but optional programs and paying for health care for the needy and elderly in Pennsylvania, it's not a very difficult choice. Why should public broadcasting get state funding in these times?
Well, I think it's somewhat of a false comparison. If you look at public media in general in this country, and specifically in Pennsylvania, it fills some critical needs and, frankly, has the potential to fill other needs. If you look at children's programming, pre-K literacy, key to how children learn later on in life, and you look at the importance of the on-air programs, whether that be Sesame Street, Arthur, Super Y, many of the others, in many cases, especially with low-income houses, homes, households, this is where kids really get some of their first legs up on how to read, how to understand numbers, how to socialize, how to work in the school settings. This is critical. If you look at how information is disseminated, while on the one hand we have more and more outlets, you've got the internet and all of this going on, when you really look at where is the public interest being served, perhaps there has never been a more critical time to have a healthy public service media. So I agree with the governor. There are very critical needs to meet in this country and in this state. But I would also argue that public media is one of the key ways that we can help to meet those needs.
Are you concerned that if public broadcasting is eliminated from the state's 2009-10 budget, that it will be even harder to get it back in the budget in upcoming years?
Yes. I think historically Pennsylvania has been incredibly supportive and appreciative of the value of public media, whether it's been a Republican administration or a Democratic administration. I think this is really the first time in the history, certainly since I've been here, and I think it goes back way further than that, that there has been that fundamental assault on the basic foundation of public broadcasting.
How much of a cut do you think WPSU and the other public television stations could take?
Well, I think we should take our fair share. If you look at what the reductions have been offered for in the arts organizations, I think they've typically been in the 10 to 15%. We're proposing a cut that actually would be in the 15 to 20% range. So it goes even beyond that. And I think we should take our fair share. These are tough times. But I think it's also a time to appreciate what is important and what is valuable. And I believe there is a significant need for a healthy public media in Pennsylvania.
You mentioned some of the other public broadcasting stations and how they would respond to the potential cuts. What else are you hearing from the general managers of these seven other stations?
Well, what we are doing collectively and individually in our markets is meeting with legislators in the House and in the Senate. We are talking to our constituents. We're talking to our board members, talking to different media outlets. And I would say generally what we are hearing is a significant groundswell of support for public broadcasting. I've heard it across the board that while we all appreciate how difficult the times are, there is also a real appreciation that good times are bad, and frankly, sometimes even more in difficult times, having healthy public media is the way we communicate. It's one of the ways that we trust that the information is accurate and correct.
WPSU and public television stations across the country are seeing a drop in giving from pledge drives and underwriting. While the economy, no doubt, is a factor, do you think that drop could also mean declining support? You had mentioned the strong support, but is that declining support?
Well, I think you have to look beyond the broad numbers and to look at the specific areas. On public radio, for example, there has been continued very strong support. And certainly here at WPSU, recent membership campaign, we were able to end early. Our corporate support and underwriting numbers have been very healthy and have been growing. On the public television side, I think there have been some things that work better than others, frankly. WPSU, our local programs, have been doing very well, have been very healthy, and there are certainly programs within the core schedule that our communities rely on very heavily. On the other hand, I think, frankly, there is a need on the television side to be more aggressively rethinking how we use our technologies in a public service way to better connect with our communities.
What direction would you like to see that go? What new ideas need to be pursued?
Well, I would like to see a much more dynamic relationship between national programs and local presence. I think that local stations have both, in many cases, the capacity, but increasingly the obligation to play an active role, not simply to be a pass-through for national programs. I think the model of All Things Considered, or Morning Edition, where you have healthy national content interfaced with important local connectivity is a way to look at in the future on the television side.
How do you respond to the argument that television should be left to the free market entirely, that if there's a demand for Nova and Sesame Street and these new programs that you're talking about, that the growing number of television stations can respond to that?
Well, I would say all you have to do is look over the last 10 years to say that while there is a lot to be said for an open and free market, there is also a lot of caution that should be used in that assessment. That we work best, I think, when we have a very strong sense of what our democratic ideals are, what kind of society we want, and a respect for how a free market can work. So I think there's a question of having that balance, and that public media is a key ingredient to having an open society.
The governor's proposed budget would also reduce funding for public television technical support from $4.34 million to $2 million and would get rid of the Pennsylvania Public Television Network. What can you tell us about these changes and what they would mean for WPSU?
Well, we have proposed that if necessary, we believe that as a station network, we can make up for that loss. It certainly is easier to have a central network. It makes it, especially for some of the smaller stations, it makes the connectivity easier. But with new technologies and with the healthy stations, we're willing to take that hit if necessary.
What type of response are you getting to your efforts in Harrisburg talking with the General Assembly?
As I said, I think in general what we're finding is bipartisan support on the Democratic and Republican sides. Everybody says, and we agree, these are difficult times. Something has to give. Cuts have to happen. We are willing to take our fair share of that. We just think that dramatically reducing, eliminating that funding is going too far. I think in general, that's what legislators have been agreeing with.
Can you say at this point whether you think those efforts are going to work?
Well, I think I can say it may or may not rain tomorrow, and that's about as far as I can go. I am cautiously optimistic. As I said, the support for public broadcasting goes back decades, and it's Republican and it's Democratic. There is a significant amount of goodwill in Harrisburg. I think that collaboratively we can figure this out.
Ted, we have about a minute left. Can you tell us a little bit about whether the public is responding and becoming an advocate for public television like you've asked them to?
Yes, it's really been inspiring. In fact, we have some initiatives we have begun here, but it's really heartening to see how unsolicited members and educators have been writing letters. In fact, I've heard that supporters of schools involved with Scholastic Scrimmage have started their own petition drive and have gotten hundreds of signatures already on that. So it's an inspiring time. You really see where the support is and how public broadcasting is appreciated.
And really quickly, can you tell us with Scholastic Scrimmage why that's important?
Why it's important is because we serve a large swath of rural Pennsylvania, many communities where you've got kids who are overlooked by conventional media. You've got kids who are in many cases bright, and that you know we have a problem with the students leaving Pennsylvania, young folks leaving. And here we have a program that appreciates and recognizes intelligence and bright kids, gets them together, gives them the visibility they deserve, creates a program that's fun to watch, the communities are proud of. That is exactly what public broadcasting ought to be doing.
We've been talking with Ted Critchell, General Manager for Penn State Public Broadcasting, about the possibility of the state cutting public television from the upcoming budget. Ted, thanks for talking with us.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
For Take Note, I'm Ann Danahy.
This program was produced in the studios of WPSU. If you have a story idea for Take Note, send it to WPSU, 120 Outreach Building, University Park, Pennsylvania, 16802. Or email it to wpsu@psu.edu. This has been a presentation of Penn State Public Broadcasting.